All right, let's jump into today's deep dive. Imagine you find an incredible cave system right into your property. It's amazing. Like you turn it into this big tourist attraction, you're making a good living off it, and then suddenly your neighbor, boom, hits you with a lawsuit, claims part of that cave, well, it actually runs into their land too. And they're saying you're trespassing. I mean, how do you even settle something like that? It's not like there's a line down there.
It sounds like something straight out of a movie, right? But this scenario actually played out in a real legal case, Edwards v. Sims. It's a Kentucky case from 1929, believe it or not.
1929, wow. And you're saying this case is still important today?
Absolutely. It's a landmark case in property law, still cited in courts today, almost a century later.
Okay, now I'm really curious. What makes this case so impactful, even after all this time?
Well, Edwards v. Sims dives into some really fundamental questions. We're talking property rights, the power of the courts, and what it even means to own something. It all starts, like you said, with a cave, the Great Monix Cave in Kentucky.
Okay, so we have a cave, a lawsuit, and some big legal questions. Set the scene for us. What exactly happened in this case?
So the owner of this cave, a man named Edwards, saw its potential, so he turned it into a tourist destination. Smart move, right? But then his neighbor, Lee, well, he suspected the cave might actually extend under his property too. So he sued Edwards for trespassing.
Yeah, talk about a neighborly dispute. But seriously, how do you even figure out those property boundaries underground? Like I said, caves don't exactly follow straight lines.
That's exactly the issue. And the judge in the original trial, Judge Sims, wanted to get to the bottom of it, literally. He ordered a survey of the cave to figure out the exact boundaries. And that's when things really got interesting.
I bet. I mean, I can imagine Edward wasn't thrilled about having people crawling around his property, even if it was underground.
Yeah, Edwards was not happy about it at all. He argued that the survey was a total violation of his property rights. This case actually has a pretty unique legal history. First, Edwards tried to appeal the order for the survey, but the court said, nope, not so fast.
What? Why not?
Because the order was what's called interlocutory.
Interlocutory meaning?
It means it wasn't a final judgment in the case. It was like, hold on, we need more information before we make a final call. So Edwards, being a persistent guy, filed a writ of prohibition.
A what?
A writ of prohibition. Basically, he was trying to stop the survey entirely. And this whole legal battle went all the way up to the Milwaukee Court of Appeals.
Wow. Talk about a determined guy. So what did the Court of Appeals decide? Did they protect Edwards' property rights or side with the neighbor who wanted to explore the cave?
Well, the Kentucky Court of Appeals actually sided with Lee. They said survey approved. They denied Edwards' writ and upheld the lower court's power to order that survey. Their reasoning was based on this long-standing legal principle, cujus est solum.
Okay, now you're just throwing Latin phrases at me. What does that even mean?
It's Latin for, basically, whoever owns the soil, they own everything above and below it. So, in theory, if you own a piece of land, you own everything from the sky above down to, well, the center of the earth.
Wait a minute, are you telling me that if I own a house, I also technically own a chunk of the earth's core? That doesn't sound right.
That's a great point. It's the classic interpretation, but the court in Edwards v. Sims acknowledged that this principle, cujus est solum, it isn't absolute. They used mining cases as an analogy.
Mines? How do mines relate to a cave?
Well, I think about it this way. Sometimes, to prove someone is stealing resources from your mine, right, you have to go onto their property and, like, inspect it. The court saw the cave survey in a similar light. They basically said, look, this is a necessary step. We need to figure out the truth, even if it means going onto Edward's property for a bit.
So they were saying, we got to see where this cave goes to determine who owns what, even if it meant kind of, invading Edward's privacy a little. That's a tough one. I could see how a property owner would feel violated.
Absolutely. And that's where the dissenting opinion in this case comes in. One of the judges, Judge Logan, strongly disagreed with the majority's ruling. He called it absurd.
Absurd. Wow.
Yeah, Judge Logan basically said, look, if Edwards is the one who made this cave valuable, why should Lee get to profit from it? He was also worried that this decision could set a dangerous precedent, lead to courts basically devaluing property without any real justification.
So Judge Logan was all about protecting individual property rights.
Exactly. And his dissent really highlights the tension in this whole case, right? The balance between traditional property rights and the court's doozy to find the truth. It raises some really interesting questions about ownership, like who truly owns a resource, especially if they didn't even know it was there until someone else discovered it. These are questions that go way beyond this one cave in Kentucky.
Welcome back. We're digging deeper into Edwards v. Sims, that Kentucky cave case, the one that's got us all thinking about, like, what does it even mean to own something, especially all this stuff underground? Last time we were talking about how this case, even though it's from 1929, it still has a big impact today.
That's right. Edwards v. Sims isn't just some dusty old case about a cave. It really did set a legal precedent that we're still dealing with, especially in those cases about what's going on beneath the surface.
You mentioned fracking and pipelines before the break. Can you give us like some specific examples of how Edwards v. Sims actually comes up in legal battles today?
Absolutely. Let's start with fracking. It's been pretty controversial, right? You know, drilling those wells, sometimes they go horizontally for like thousands of feet underground, all to get that natural gas.
Right, and I bet those wells, they don't always stay neatly within those property lines.
You got it. Edwards v. Sims has actually been cited in tons of cases where landowners have sued fracking companies, saying, hey, those wells are trespassing on my property. They might be taking resources that belong to me.
So even though Edwards v. Sims was about a cave, those same ideas, they're being used in these modern fracking cases.
Yep. The core issue is the same. We have to balance property rights with actually figuring out what's true, even if it means going onto someone else's land to get the facts. And that precedent set by Edwards v. Sims, it gives courts a way to decide if these inspections or surveys are really needed.
So like if a landowner thinks, hey, maybe a fracking company is drilling under my land without asking me, they can use Edwards v. Sims to say, hey, court, I want a survey to see what's really going on.
You got it. That case helps build a legal argument for that kind of action. And it's not just fracking either. Think about pipelines, those huge underground networks that carry oil and gas across the country.
Yeah, pipelines, I could see how those could lead to property disputes for sure.
Oh, they definitely do. Like, where is that pipeline exactly? Are there any leaks causing damage? Did they mess up my property when I built it? All kinds of questions come up.
Yeah, sounds like some pretty big legal fights.
Oh, they can be huge. And Edwards v. Sims, you guessed it, it's been cited in cases where landowners want those pipelines inspected, even if it means digging up parts of their land to see if the pipeline is okay or where it really is.
So Edwards v. Sims, even though it's almost 100 years old, it's still giving courts a way to say, we need to find out what's happening underground, even if it causes some temporary disruption. And that's a pretty big deal for these modern complex cases.
Right. It shows how forward-thinking the court was back then, even in 1929. They knew that sometimes to get to the truth and be fair, you got to do some digging. And I mean that literally and figuratively.
This is really interesting stuff. It seems like this one case about a cave in Kentucky has had a ripple effect on like all sorts of areas of law. But you also mentioned earlier that Edwards v. Sims makes us think about the whole concept of ownership itself. What did you mean by that?
Oh, that's another super important part of this case. Remember that Latin phrase, cucus est solum, the idea that if you own the land, you own everything under it too. Well, Edwards v. Sims, it forces us to think about the limits of that idea.
Right, like as I joked before, does that mean I own a piece of the earth's core just because I own my house?
Exactly. Edwards v. Sims makes us think harder about what ownership really means, especially when we're talking about resources that we didn't even know were there until, well, technology let us get to them.
I see what you're saying. Like, what happens if there's something valuable miles underground? Do I own that even if I have no idea it's there? What about things like deep sea mining or getting energy from deep inside the earth? Those resources could go way beyond traditional property lines.
You're getting right to the heart of the questions that Edwards v. Sims raises, and those questions are even more important today than they were back in 1929. It makes us think, how do we balance property rights with using resources responsibly and fairly? It's a tough issue, no easy answers.
Wow, sounds like this case really opened up a whole can of worms, legally speaking.
It really did, and that's what makes Edwards v. Sims so fascinating and relevant, even today. It reminds us that a simple property dispute, it can lead to really deep legal and philosophical questions. Questions that are still shaping how we think about ownership in a world that's constantly changing.
This is a lot to take in, but it's really insightful. I know some people criticize the Edwards v. Sims decision. Some legal experts worry that it gives courts too much power. You know, maybe at the expense of individual property rights.
That's a very important point. And it's definitely something we're going to talk about in our final part. We'll look at those dissenting opinions, the potential downsides of the Edwards v. Sims precedent, and try to figure out what it all means for property owners today.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've been on this journey through Edwards v. Sims, and wow, what a trip, right? Started with this Kentucky cave and ended up in this whole legal maze about property rights and what it really means to own something, especially like when it comes to all that stuff hidden underground.
Yeah, it's been quite the deep dive, hasn't it? The more we explore, the more layers we uncover. I mean, we've seen how a case from 1929 is still influencing legal battles today. Everything from fracking to pipelines, it's amazing. And it's got us all thinking, what does it even mean to own something, especially those resources we can't even see?
Right. And before we finish up, I got to ask about something we touched on earlier. You mentioned that not everyone's a fan of the Edwards v. Sims decision. Some legal experts, they're worried it gives courts too much power, you know, maybe even weakens individual property rights. So what are they concerned about specifically?
Well, the main criticism is this idea that Edwards v. Sims gives courts this broad power to order inspections of private property, even if there's no specific law that says they can do that. And, you know, that raises some concern, like, where does the court's power stop? Could this lead to all sorts of frivolous claims, you know, people just wanting to snoop around your property for no good reason?
Yeah, that does seem a little unsettling. Like, what if someone just has a hunch there's something valuable under my land? Can they just run to the court and say, hey, let's do a survey? That feels like it could be abused pretty easily.
That's exactly what the critics are worried about. They're saying, hey, Edwards v. Sims, it could be used to justify all these invasive inspections that aren't really necessary to solve a dispute. They're pushing for some stronger legal protections for property owners so people can't just barge in without a really good reason.
So it's like this tug of war, right? Between uncovering the truth, but also protecting individual rights. It's got to be a tough balance to strike. What do the people who support Edwards v. Sims say about all this? How do they address those criticisms?
Well, they argue that the decision does strike a balance, a necessary balance. They say, look, individual property rights are important, but so is justice and fairness for everyone. And they point out that Edwards v. Sims didn't just give courts free rein to order inspections whenever they feel like it.
Yeah, you mentioned before that there were, like, some specific conditions, right? Things that had to be met before a court could order an inspection.
Exactly. It's called a three-pronged test. First, you got to have a legit reason to be suspicious, a real bona fide claim, as they call it. Second, that inspection, it has to be absolutely necessary to figure out the truth no other way. And third, the property owner, they have to have a chance to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't think that's right.
Okay, those conditions make sense. It sounds like the court was trying to be careful, right? Making sure that inspections were only used as a last resort, not just because someone's feeling a little nosy.
That's the idea. The folks who support Edwards v. Sims, they say these safeguards are there to protect property owners from random or pointless intrusions. They say the whole point is to find the truth, even if it means going onto someone's land for a little bit.
Man, it seems like this whole debate boils down to one big question. How do we balance individual rights with finding justice and fairness in the legal system? That's a tough one.
It really is. And, you know, Edwards v. Sims is like a perfect example of how courts try to grapple with that tension, especially with something as complex as property rights.
So after all this deep diving into Edwards v. Sims, what's the big takeaway for our listeners? What should they remember, especially to dealing with property law issues?
I think the most important thing to remember is this. Property law isn't just about drawing lines on a map and saying, this is mine, that's yours, you know. It's about figuring out all these competing interests, balancing rights and responsibilities. And sometimes, to find the truth, we have to dig a little deeper. I mean that literally and figuratively.
It really is a reminder that legal cases, those precedents, they have a huge ripple effect. It's not just about one case. It's about shaping how we deal with similar situations for years, even decades to come.
And Edwards v. Sims really drives that point home. It leaves us with some big questions, like, how far do our property rights really go? What happens when those rights bump up against the need to discover the truth? And how do we make sure everyone's treated fairly? Those are questions that are still relevant today, almost 100 years after that whole Kentucky Cave dispute.
Well said. This whole deep dive has definitely given me a lot to think about. It's amazing how even something like property ownership, which seems so simple at first, can get so complicated and nuanced.
It really is. And, you know, it shows us how important it is to understand how legal principles evolve over time. Cases like Edwards v. Sims, they give us this peek into how the legal system adapts, you know, as society changes, as technology advances, and as our understanding of things like ownership changes.
As we wrap up our exploration of this legal saga, this, you know, journey into the depths of Edwards v. Sims, I think it's fitting to leave our listeners with one final thought, one last question to ponder. What does ownership really mean in a world where what's underground is becoming more valuable and easier to access? It's something to think about as we navigate this constantly changing landscape of property rights.
It's a good point. Maybe we should all be like those surveyors in Edwards v. Sims, you know, be willing to venture into the unknown, explore the complexities of law, and see how it impacts our world.
That's a perfect way to end it. Thanks for joining us on this fascinating journey through Edwards v. Sims. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep digging deeper.